If you have your Bibles, go to Luke. No, go to Matthew 18. We'll go to Luke eventually. Matthew 18, verse 22. The title of this message, if you teach about forgiveness. If you teach about forgiveness. That's the title of this message. If you teach about forgiveness. And then you put a question mark. And maybe by the end of this, we'll have an answer. We'll start in Matthew 18, 21. Kyle, if you will, turn my mic down and we'll just try to stay up here, but that way we'll be able to record if it keeps popping. Matthew 18, verse 21. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Read something like this. Then came Peter to him and said, is that where y'all are at? All right, good. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Great question, Peter. Great question. Man, you sound so spiritual. You sound so good coming and asking a question like that. You know why? Because it was of the Jewish time and the Jewish custom that the teachers would talk, the Pharisaical teachers, the men of the law, would forgive three times. Three. If somebody sinned against you three different times and said, will you forgive me? You can go to three. And after that third time, done. You know what Peter did? Added three plus one. And he thought he was special. He thought he was spiritual and special. Hey, Jesus, how many times do I got to forgive somebody that sins against me? Wait a minute, let me give you the answer. Seven? Sounded spiritual. Gave him a good old Bible answer. Every Bible trivia, usually the answer is either seven or 40. So if you're playing Bible trivia with somebody, the answer is usually seven or 40. You stand a good chance of getting it right. He thought, man, I got this. Jesus is going to go, man, Peter, you're so good. You're so holy. You're so righteous. I mean, you're going to give four more times than the religious elite right now. You're going to give four more times than the most holiest person that's walking. That's awesome. Nope, Jesus just corrects him. Man, not a reward, not a gold star, not a medal, a correction. Golly, have you ever thought you was going to get a reward from God and you got a correction instead? God, I've done a ton of time. Man, God is really going to be pleased with what I do. God's going to be blown away with what Kevin does. He's never blown away by what I do. He's blown away when I do what He wants me to do. When I do His will. That's when He's blown away. Amen? Check this out in verse 22. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. 70 times seven. You know what he's saying? You got to forgive him as many times as it takes. But you know what he's really saying? You can't keep score. You can't keep a record. No, you can't keep a record of people that you're not going to forgive. No, I want to keep a record. It's been three times. This joker, that joker, her, him, do it again. Right? Man, you want to say, hey, God, you give sick. Can we even be honest? A lot of times we won't even talk to God about it. We talk to other people about it. And we tell them how bad that person is. How bad they've done you. How bad. Man, this is number five. What do you think? We don't give them time to answer. Rotten, right? Are we being real? That's where forgiveness is. God says, Jesus looks at him and says, you can't even keep record. You can't even, if it's 70 times 70, I'm going to get into that. But if you keep, man, that's, God, I don't even know the math. I mean, I'm not a good mathematician. I can't even figure it out right now. What he's saying is you can't even keep record because I'm not keeping record on you. Amen. Wouldn't it be good if Peter all of a sudden said, man, let's do a little Rolodex here, Lord. Peter, come close. I want to show you what I've been running on you for a while. Amen? But he didn't do that, did he? He just said, you got to stop keeping record. of how you've been done wrong. Amen. If they come to you and repent or ask you to forgive, you got to forgive. Now listen, if somebody stole your money, you might not want to loan them any more money. But you got to stop telling everybody that they took your money. Well, man, they hurt me. They physically hurt me. Well, don't be alone with them. Don't be in that kind of relationship with them again. But you can't keep telling everybody. If they said, "Hey, I'm sorry. I made a real mess of that, and I'll take any consequence you give me. I just want you to know. I want you to forgive me. God's forgiven me. I want you to forgive me." You know what you got to do? I forgive you. Now we're not going to be like we were, but I forgive you. Oh, y'all, is that good? Amen. That means you got to stop rehearsing it. You got to stop carrying it. You got to stop dragging it around with you and unpacking it every time something happens to you. Oh, never. Oh, somebody else will yell, but you're not the only one. My wife, my husband, my kids, my at work. I thought they asked you to forgive them.
Oh, I did.
I forgave them. I'm just reminding myself that I always end up in these situations. Amen. Verse 23. "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take an account of his servants." Whew. Verse 24, "And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made." Goodness, wait a minute. They were strict on this debt stuff, right? And it was going to cost this man not only his life, but his wife's life, his kid's life, and all that he had. You might want to make a little note right here. That's what sin costs. A lot of times sin costs more than you want to pay, and it costs your wife or your husband, your kids, and everything else. Amen? He's just telling him, you're going to have to pay all this. He goes begging. He goes to begging. You know you get saved when you're willing to beg. Amen? I seen it this morning when a young man got saved. He goes before the throne of grace and says, "God, please forgive me of my sins. God, forgive, please. I'm a sinner." Somebody said, "Well, that wasn't an eloquent prayer. That's the sweetest prayer there is." I don't even know if eloquent prayers even, I know they get through. But man, some of the best prayers you'll ever hear are sinners saying, "Oh God, help me. I'm a sinner." Amen. Listen to it. Listen to what he says. "Then the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.'" What'd he say? "Have a little patience with me. Golly, how many? God, slow that judgment down, will you please? God, will you just give me a little more time? God, have patience." Man, that's a good prayer. I might have to add that to my prayer list for myself. I'm sorry. Y'all are so spiritual. Y'all are spiritual giants. God, have patience with me. I mean, I'm still under construction, Lord. This man, he owed a lot. And he went before God and said, "God, have some patience. And I'll pay you what I..." And you know what he's saying? "You can't pay me. You can't pay me what you owe." Can't. I want y'all to go a little bit deeper with me. Look. "But the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion." Man, you might want to get in your Bibles and underline this next word I'm going to say. Y'all mind if I have a fit? Because I didn't see this in the preparation.
When you don't see something in the preparation and you see it in the church, sometimes I can get a little sideways. Annie, God, I was helping somebody jump in here and help me. Annie. Golly, and he loosed him. God, don't you, man,
I'm like, I can go home tonight and say, man, that was good. I can still remember the day. When he just unhooks you. He had compassion. Remember when God had compassion on you? Mercy, grace. I mean, he just said, all right. But he, God, I don't know how to preach this. Golly.
Comes down and gets down your level. He condescends down to where you're at and says, hey, let me unhook this for you. Let me free you. Let me take this off. Let me loosen you up.
See, I mean, can you not hear like a million chains dropping off right there? Can you not just see all the dead of sin falling off somebody and them standing up? Golly, I see it. I just see it. He loosed him and forgave him his debt. Write this down. You might want to take a note right here. For the debt to be absolved, the debtor has to take the occurrence. The debtor has to take the full payment. The debt, the one who gave the debt, the loaner has to take the full debt. I mean, he's got to say, somebody, if you owe somebody something and it's forgiven you, somebody's got to take the full payment of that. I know we live in America today and we act like everybody pays for something. Yeah, well, that's free. There's no such thing. Somebody's got to acquire that payment. Somebody's got to say, okay, for them to be forgiven, they will get that debt will be absolved, but it's got to be absolved by somebody. Ain't this funny that the guy who takes the account, the one who's got all the money, gets all the things to lend, says, I'm just going to give it, I'm going to occur it. I'm going to take it as an occurrence. I'll mark it off on the ledger. Never mind. Y'all done been shouting. You got a hold of that. I'll, where he's read in the ledger, I'll just cover it as if he's paid it. That's Jesus. Where you're guilty, where you owe what you had to pay, you couldn't pay your sin debt, you could, oh God, I'll do better. How many prayers can we make? Oh God, do this and I won't do that. Save me on this situation, I'll come back. Oh Lord, I'll do better, I'll be better. Even when you made all kinds of promises, have patience, God, oh please. Still couldn't pay. Still couldn't get the debt.
But then one day you just freely forgiven. Man, freely forgive. Man, God just says, whoosh. This guy, man, Jesus is teaching on forgiveness, ain't he? Is this good teaching for Jesus on forgiveness? If you teach on forgiveness, ? Amen. Look at this. But the same servant, who? Golly, that's us sometimes, ain't it? It's like walking out of church after you get saved. You get set free. Hallelujah. I've been loose. Praise God. I'll fly away, oh glory. Fly away, right? I mean, soaring with the eagle, son. Talking about hallelujah, praise God, and Jesus. Amen? And the Holy Ghost. I got forgiven, man. I was crushed. I almost lost my wife, my kids, and everything I got. But, whoa, he just swooped in and got it all. And you run into that guy. Your old man's in there, right? But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid his hand on him and took him by the what? Took him by the throat and said, pay me that thou owest. God, I love that. Man, ain't the Bible the awesomest book ever? He just got through. Forgive me. Have patience on me. Please. Can I grab somebody by the throat? Was it not? Just. Right? You see it? Can you see that? This guy's spiritual. He just got forgiven. Check this out. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Amen? And he would not, but went and cast him in prison till he should pay his debt. Amen? And when the fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord. I hope nobody's going to tell the Lord on us all that was done. Then his Lord, after he called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt. Because thou desirest me, shall thou not also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to tormentors, that he till he should pay all that was due unto him. And likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother and his trespasses. Check this out. Let's look at the tally. I've got numbers. Y'all should start praying now. One talent would take 6,000 hours, 6,000 days to pay off. It would take 20 years to pay off one talent. It would take 190,000 days to pay off 10,000 talents. Get me? That's what he was forgiven. That's what he was forgiven. He was forgiven so much. 190,000 days worth of stuff. Probably what? In that time, probably like 5 or 6 lifetimes. And you know what the other guy owed him? 100 denarii. You know what that is? 1/3 of a year. 1/3 of a year. That means he had to work 3/4. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, and September. And he could walk in and say, it's paid. You know what he did? Grabbed him by the throat. Threw him in the prison. And said, you know what? You don't get mercy and you don't get grace. Even though my debt would last forever. Guys, I want you to tell you this. What Jesus did for us at Calvary, what he died for in our account, it's innumerable. All the sins we broke, all the laws, all the ordinances, and all the sin that we committed against God. I'm telling you right now, if he was to sit down and mark it, we couldn't pay it off in a multiple of lifetimes. And then somebody comes along and messes with us, and they could literally pay it back to us. They could say, I can make it right. We say, no. And they go and they look at us and they say, how can you have God in your life and you can't forgive? And I'm here to tell you, you can't. You can't. I don't know how real you like to be, but I like to be really real and transparent and all that stuff. In 2018, I like to tell you this. I had more sin than I want to talk about. So when somebody messes up a little bit, I like to give them some mercy and some grace and some patience and some love. And I try to think about it like this. Man, God forgive me a lot, so I need to forgive a lot. And most of the time, it's just little stuff. It's just little things. And you know what I found out about forgiveness? And y'all know this. This is cliche. This has been in the church for longer than I've been in the church. When you forgive people, it really ain't about them. It never is. Forgiveness is like a prison. And you're holding the keys to it. And you're sitting in that prison. And you're just sitting there reminding yourself of all the bad that happened and how bad it was. And you know what? A lot of times, the person that you won't forgive, you couldn't find them with a flashlight and a search warrant. They might even be dead. Or they just don't care. Or the other category, if you ever gave them the opportunity, you could forgive them. They'd ask you for their forgiveness. So sometimes you got to take the keys.
bitterness and stuff like that in my life. Friends, I cannot forgive you for doing me wrong, taking that money.
Oh, God, we don't do this. I can't do this. No way I would just forgive this, okay? But she's doing it.
Forgive me, church member. I don't know if I can forgive that. I'm doing it wrong.
It's amazing. Some people come to church, don't go to church because they've been hurt and they won't forgive nobody. But man, they'll clock in for 40 years at a job they absolutely hate. I mean, show up, I'm walking dead, triple pneumonia. Church, I'm not going by there, and that person did, and that preacher did, and that company did, and they did, and they looked, and they did, and then it was hypocrites.
But there's hypocrites at the bar. There's hypocrites at the strip joint. You can't say strip joint at church. Just did. They're bigger hypocrites than you believe. Because guess what? You run out of money, they don't like you no more. You run out of money, they ain't going to give you no more drinks. Right? Oh, I'm sorry. Can't preach real. Hey, guess what? If you can't make it to work, they'll drop you hotter than a hot biscuit. I'm sorry. What, you mean you can't come? No, I need some of that FMLA. I need some of that, you know, workers come. Hey, they'll get everything in their power to get rid of you. You know who I like preaching to? You know who I like ministering to? I like people who can come back to church regardless. You can put Constantine Wire and Maypalm and napalm, and you couldn't put Claymore Mines out from this church. Geraldine, church! You ain't keeping me out! As long as them mines don't get it, I'm going to make it. And that wire, I cut that with a knife in my pocket bar. Hear me? That's kind of people I like preach to. I like people, but you don't do this. You want me to give it. You want some nuts to take off now. I'm sorry. I cut our attendance in half every time I preach. But do you see the disparity in the numbers? That's the way our salvation is. And I taught this tonight, and I said, man, that's a good message, Lord. And then he said, well, if you're going to teach on forgiveness, then you got to go to Luke 23 and verse 32. Jesus taught an amazing lesson on forgiveness. And if you're going to teach on forgiveness and you're going to tell other people to forgive, guess what you're going to have to do? If you're going to teach on it, you're going to have to do it. And I started thinking about it. Luke 23, verse 32. I wonder if Jesus thought every once in a while, man, that was a good lesson. I hope them 12 boys get it, right? And I hope all them other people that were there listening get it. But there's nothing like execution. There's nothing like applying a message. There's nothing like living a message. There's nothing like doing what you say you believe. Luke 23, verse 32. And there were two malefactors, and there were two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. Jesus was slammed in between two criminals. People who probably deserved to be crucified. Jesus was put in the middle of them. Hanging out with the wrong people. You're in the wrong crowd. I am in the wrong crowd. I'm in the wrong group of people to be forgiven. You'll never be in the wrong crowd to be forgiving. Amen? People ain't going to be the difference in whether you're going to forgive or not. You got to choose to forgive. God said, you put me in here with these two malefactors. I'm with the wrong people. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors on the right hand and the other on the left hand.
Wrong people, wrong time. I'm innocent. Have you ever been totally innocent of something? Somebody accuse you of something or run your name down or say something bad about you? And guess what? You got to forgive. Jesus never sinned. He never done anything wrong. The worst thing they could ever say that he said was he was the Son of God. He's blasphemed. He said he was the Son of God. And he healed somebody on the Sabbath. They said it out of their own mouths when they were up there. If you be God, save yourself. Come down from there. Save yourself. I could have saved myself at any point. But I'm saving the world right now. Amen. He was naked, so he was embarrassed, humiliated. Can you forgive when you've been humiliated? Man, they ruined, they said things, they've done things. That embarrassed me. That ruined my name. Think about that for a second. They ruined my name. Then think about Jesus. Does he have a name better than our name? Does God have a better name than we have? So are you going to wait because you got embarrassed or you got your feelings hurt? Are you going to not forgive? Jesus didn't wait for that time. Beaten beyond all recognition. He was hurt. Have you ever been hurt? Maybe not as much physically as emotionally and spiritually. Well, I can't forgive when I'm hurt. I'm going to have to get over it first. Jesus didn't wait for that. He didn't wait for that. I got it. I got this one. I'll wait until they get better. I'll wait till the other person gets better. Then I'll forgive. Let me give you the verse. It's going to be better. Then said Jesus in verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. When? Oh, y'all are caught up. They had to cry. Forgive them. Who is he talking about? Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. Who? Oh, it's them Roman soldiers. That's who. It was the Pharisees. It was the Jewish elite. That's who. Oh, no. It was Pilate. That's who. He's talking about everybody. You know what held Jesus to that cross? Your sins. Love, yes. Your sins, though. He was nailed to the cross for your sins. He was crushed for your punishment. He was bruised for your wickedness. Held his arms open wide where our arms should have been opened wide. Golly, can I? Y'all. He was speaking into hundreds and hundreds, 2,000 years. If you just recently got saved, he was talking about you.
Amen.
Looking down through the sands and the annals of time, somebody in the womb right now, forgive them, Father, they don't know what they do. That's all. His love pursues you, chases you, comes after you. Leaves the 99 and comes after the one. And when you do come to man, you realize, man, you've been pursuing me. You've been forgiving me since Calvary. You've been forgiving me since the beginning of time.
All the way back in the garden when they sinned. Jesus said, you'll bruise his head, or he'll crush your head. He said, no, he's going to crush you at Calvary. Amen. What do you want from church? Scott, come on. What do you want from church? You know what I want this church to be? I want revival, salvation. I want explosion. I want people to come in here and can't sit still because they can't. They either got to get saved or they got to do something for God. Yeah, Betts, come on. Listen, hey, I want that. That's what I want. I want red hot, fervent, on fire, growing church. That's what I want.
You can't have that and not have forgiveness. If we got a church that won't forgive, this fire will go down to a flicker, and it'll go down to a little old flickering flame. And then it might just be a little bitty old smoking ember. Y'all don't believe this. Some of y'all don't think I'm crazy. Forgive you because I thought you wasn't treating me right. I've been under unfair pressure from you, God. You're not doing me right. What that means is you don't think God's legislating right. He ain't running things right. Maybe you need to come up here and say, God, I'm sorry for being mad at you. You're God, I'm not. Your will, not mine, will be done. As they sing a song. If you've got unforgiveness in your heart,